everyone. Welcome back to my channel, or welcome if you're new here. My name is Madison, and I make video essays about trending topics and pop culture. I'm also a singer and a songwriter, so if you liked that intro music, that's me singing, by the way, that's my song, and you can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Music, along with some of my other music. I've got music videos. I'm gonna start introducing myself on this channel. I feel like that's a new thing for me this year because, you know, there's always people who have never seen my face before watching my video, so I think it's important to let you guys know. My last song that I released, people were like, I didn't know you made music. And I was like, you should know that I make music. I can't assume that everyone knows everything about me, right? So let's get into the video. Today, I wanted to chat with you guys, human to human, about empathy, which is something that I think I actually talk a lot about on my channel. Almost every video, especially when it's about someone else, like a celebrity or influencer or whatever, the topic of empathy always comes up because I think the internet is in a empathy deficit. There is some sort of empathy crisis going on, I think, when it comes to people and how we interact with each other online, and I think it's gone out of hand. And I wanted to just sit down and really talk about it a little more in depth rather than mentioning it in passing, because I don't know if people really hear me when I say it or take me seriously when I'm like, you know, what if we thought a bit more empathetically about this topic rather than just going straight to the jugular and attacking people and ripping each other apart because we disagree with something. So, trigger warning, there will be some defending of people who we consider celebrities in this world. So if that bothers you and you just can't take it, then you can click off. But I don't really view it as me defending celebrities because they're celebrities. I'm defending a human being that is going through a very human emotion and talking about their experience and how it can be applied to us regular people and how we interact with each other. Because surprise, surprise, I know you've probably never heard this before, but celebrities, they're just like us for the most part. I mean, obviously the money thing comes up. Well, I feel bad for someone if they're rich, but I think it goes deeper than that. So yeah, thank you, Lalo, for sponsoring today's video. Valentine's Day is coming up, and this year you can indulge for less with Lalo. Whether you're flying solo this year and want to treat yourself or give a gift to your partner, Lalo has got you covered. Lalo is offering an unbeatable deal this year, and you can use my stackable code MADISON15 for an additional discount. I recommend you check out the Enigma Double Sonic. The Enigma Double Sonic is an A-spot massager that can help you reach new depths. To target the A-spot, it uses deep sonic technology. It also has an ergonomic stimulator, a fully flexible stimulator that provides powerful stimulation. It's also app connected, and you can unlock two additional modes to customize your experience. So take advantage of this Valentine's Day sale and use my code MADISON15 for an additional discount. Happy Valentine's Day, and thank you again to Lalo for sponsoring today's video. Some of the topics that have come up recently that inspired me to make this video were the LA fires and Selena Gomez and her Instagram story about the ICE deportations and the reaction to that. And, you know, there have been other topics that I've covered on this channel that have accumulated over time that have made me realize, wow, like, people really cannot empathize with other people. Even people who aren't celebrities, like Ballerina Farm, who I've talked about on this channel before, the trad wife propagandist, allegedly. I'm not gonna go too deep into her, but even, you know, a few months ago, there was an article about her where she was interviewed, and you could tell that there were some things that were off about her life that seemed really, honestly, kind of disturbing. And I think the article wanted you to feel that way. And a lot of people were like, oh, I don't feel bad for her because she's rich, or I don't feel bad for her because she chose this. And I think it's interesting that people go to that mentality so quickly and immediately before having any sort of like critical thought or basic empathy or nuance. You know, you can think, oh, well, you know, she made those choices for herself, so it's not like she's a prisoner. While also thinking, oh, that sucks. I wonder how she feels about that. Is she okay? Like, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't think it's good for us to think like that, because although, yes, eat the rich, whatever, whatever, when you train your brain to automatically just be void of empathy and to not even go there, it does impact how you interact with the people around you who are just regular people who aren't billionaires or influencers or celebrities, etc., that's not helping anyone. And it's not helping you either, because eventually that'll trickle into your own inner world and the emotions that you have for yourself. And you don't want to lack empathy for yourself. That's really important too. And so I thought the ballerina farm thing was kind of weird. What to me seemed even crazier was the reaction to celebrities losing their... Because before we even get into like specific people, because I remember when the LA fires had just started and just started getting coverage online and in mainstream media, the immediate reaction I saw from people was, oh, I don't care. It's only rich people who live in LA, so I don't feel bad for them, which is truly some of the most brain dead commentary I've ever heard in my life, because there are normal people that live in LA. I guess people have this really specific fairy tale image in their mind about LA that makes them believe that LA is just some magical fairy tale land where only A-list celebrities and billionaires ride around on unicorns and throw gold dust in the air. Like, it's a working class city. Just like there's billionaires that live in New York, and there's also regular people. I don't understand how people see it for just one thing, but they do. And so immediately people have just thrown out any sort of empathy for anyone who lives in LA who lost their homes. And you know, if we're gonna be real, the actors that live in LA, a lot of them are not rich. Of course, there's plenty of actors in LA who are just not famous, so of course they're not rich. But even famous actors, they're not like Jeff Bezos level wealthy. And even when it comes to what you see, that doesn't necessarily reflect reality. Some people, their house is truly all they have when it comes to their wealth or their assets. They're not just rolling in liquid cash, okay?
Big bills come with what we do. We don't do this alone. It's a whole entire team behind us. They have to get paid. So when you hear someone saying, oh, such and such made $10 million, no, that's not, that didn't make it to their account. Mm-hmm. Uncle Sam is getting 50%, that's right. Okay? Do the math.
Especially someone like a reality star whose peak was in 2007, which leads me to Heidi Montag and her husband Spencer, who were on The Hills years ago, and they lost their house. And I remember seeing in real time Heidi Montag post to her TikTok crying over her house that had burned down.
It really just comes in waves, but I just want to go home. I just want to see all my stuff and sit on my couch and... really want to go home.
And the entire comment section just writing her off and being like, oh, I don't feel bad for you, you're rich, not everyone has this, I can't believe you're crying on camera, and just really disgusting comments. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm just too much of a bleeding heart, but when I see someone crying over the loss of their home, I'm gonna feel a little bit bad for them. These people are not as rich as you think they are, first of all. But even though, sure, Heidi Montag is probably in a better position than some other people who have lost their homes in LA, no doubt about that, it's still sad and it's still financially difficult, especially because she has children. Those kids have to rebuild and deal with the fact that their childhood home is gone forever and all of their belongings, and that's a really hard thing to go through. I'm just very tired of people overestimating the amount of money that people make in the entertainment industry. Just because you work in entertainment, it doesn't mean you're rich automatically. There are still working class people in the entertainment industry. Just because maybe someone isn't literally dirt poor doesn't mean that they don't deserve human empathy and respect and kindness. My God. Like, I'd lose my mind if my home burned down tomorrow and people were like, I don't feel bad for you because you're a witch influencer. Like, girl, I am not Mr. Beast. Relax. May the Mr. Beast money find me one day, but it's, you know, it's a work in progress still. And this is the last thing I'll say about making money and entertainment and whatever. Do y'all remember when Sydney Sweeney was like, actually, I really need to work like all the time to afford my life? And people are like, shut your mouth, you dirty, disgusting, filthy swine of a woman, you selfish bitch. And I was like, okay, actually, I don't understand why people are so mad about what she's saying, because she's telling the truth. What do you want? Do you want her to lie and flex on everyone and just be disingenuous? I think it's actually better to be transparent about these things. Pursuing a career in acting or music costs money, especially when you are finally, you know, you've got your first big break and you're finally, your star is rising. You have to pay for a publicist and a stylist and an agent and a manager, and there's so many people that have their hands in your income, and then you're left with only so much. And then there's taxes. So I really appreciated her transparency and what she said, especially because she is an actress who has come up in the era of streaming, which has completely changed the financial landscape of film and TV. Actors don't make as much money as they used to. Like, she's not a Seinfeld actor. If it was the 90s, then I'd be like, okay, I don't really care. She makes plenty of money. But that's just, it's different now. And so Sydney Sweeney's a perfect example when it comes to really seeing how much actors make these days. And of course, there are still wealthy actors or people who make way more money than than Sydney Sweeney. I guess that was a Freudian slip, because, I mean, someone like Zendaya is making a lot of money. She is fine. But Sydney Sweeney, although she's famous, she's not like, you know, George Clooney or something. And her situation is very realistic and common for a lot of actors. Anyways, moving on. Why do we lack empathy? What is the reason, I have to ask? It's that damn phone. It really is that damn phone, guys. Specifically, social media. Social media has caused all sorts of problems in our little human brains. One of those problems is a lack of empathy. I've talked ad nauseum about cancel culture and how, you know, it came from a good place and then it just devolved into a psychotic witch hunt for just about anyone who got unlucky on a random day. The way cancel culture has evolved is due to a lack of empathy that we have for one another, because it's not just about having empathy for maybe a marginalized group that is being attacked or wronged in some way by maybe hate speech or insensitivity, etc. Those social causes are really just a scapegoat or an excuse to attack people we just don't like. Anyways, I'm not going to get too deep into cancel culture because I've talked about it before, but it seems like social media, because it's constantly inundating us with so much information and stimulation, I think it has desensitized us to tragedy and to other people's emotions and experiences, and it's hard for us to really register other people as people and not just a moving image on a screen. Also, social media does negatively impact us. It really makes us depressed and stressed and anxious and all these things. And so when we're constantly fired up in that way, I think it makes it harder for us to extend love, empathy to other people, because we're already dealing with our own emotional chemical roller coaster that's going on in our brains. The more social media people reported using, the lower their levels of empathy. This trend did not vary much according to the type of social media we asked about, how we measured empathy, or participants' age, gender, or education, with one notable exception. Namely, participants who reported using social media more frequently were more likely to report feeling personal distress in response to other people's expressions of emotions. Sarah Conrath, professor at Indiana University, described this as a cultural burnout in the article that I read about social media and empathy. She says, "Over time, I started realizing that the declines in empathy were happening at the same time as the rise in mental health problems among young people. I put two and two together and saw those both as symptoms of burnout." Something else that should be noted, and I think is pretty significant, is that the lack of empathy in conjunction with social media seems to be specifically plaguing Americans more than other nationalities. Researchers in the UK and Spain and in the Netherlands have shown that in their countries, higher social media use was related to higher empathy. And in a recent study conducted in India, researchers found no relationship between social media use and empathy. And according to the same article, this is most likely because Americans have a more self-focused approach to social media. We use social media for our own individualistic reasons. I mean, Western culture in general is more of an individualist society than a collectivist society, but I think America even more so exhibits that. And so it makes sense that something like social media is just something that we tend to use for ourselves and our own self-interest, and then has made us less empathetic. I mean, I've seen a lot of different articles or people saying that the increase in social media has led to an increase in narcissistic behaviors and traits in people, which makes sense because social media seems to be kind of inherently narcissistic, at least for Americans. And honestly, I think what strengthens this effect even more is the algorithms that we're fed, especially really intense algorithms like TikTok. We are constantly being re-fed the same messages over and over again according to our algorithm. So it's really easy to think that our beliefs and our interests, whatever it may be, are like the center of the universe because we're constantly being fed the same thing over and over again because the app wants us to stay scrolling, to stay using the app. So I think that alone causes us to be more self-focused and more narcissistic in a sense, not actually like personality disorder, but maybe certain traits, and just changes the way that we see the world. I also think it makes us very intolerant of other people's opinions or lifestyles, just anything that is outside of our comfort zone that has been strengthened so heavily due to our algorithms. It's like such a disruptor to the system when we see something that is just a little different from our little universe that we've created for ourselves online. And with all this, it's like, of course, there's a loneliness epidemic that we've been complaining about for the past, like, I don't know, 2-3 years. You know, Americans, like I said, we live in a very individualistic society, plus social media and just technology in general that has made it really easy for us to sit at home all day and order our food to our door and never have to leave. And all of our entertainment is on our phone or on our TV. We deem commenting under Instagram posts as interacting with our friends. We're making less time for each other in real life, etc. Less third spaces. You know the story. We are lonely. We're just a very lonely, sad group of people, it seems like. And I think we've kind of dug ourselves into this hole because of how individualistic we have gotten as a society. It's like this weird cycle that's happening because the more time we spend alone and away from people, the less empathetic we are becoming because we're not flexing that muscle of human interaction and connection and empathizing with people who are different than us or just going through something that maybe we can't relate to, but we can at least try to sympathize. That skill, it seems to be falling to the wayside and really weakening. So the less empathy we have, the more lonely we feel. And so it just keeps going and going. A 2022 study found that when people were asked how close they felt to others emotionally, only 39% of adults in the US said that they felt very connected to others. So if we're already lacking in emotional connection, how are we expected to know how to empathize with people in our real lives, let alone, you know, people that we see on the internet? Like, of course, people are not empathetic because we're not connected to each other emotionally. And it's really sad because this seems to be plaguing young people the most. And you know, when you're young, this is the time to learn about emotional empathy and learn how to connect with people and to build community. And so if you're not learning it now, when will you ever? Recent surveys have found that approximately half of US adults report experiencing loneliness, with some of the highest rates among young adults. I believe that this loneliness and lack of empathy is the reason why the left is such a mess right now. I mentioned this in my video about conservatism, but as someone who is not conservative and is left-leaning, I feel kind of lost and disconnected to other people. And I think a lot of this has to do with me getting a lot of my like political takes and information online and on TikTok, which isn't necessarily a reflection of the real world. There's just so much infighting and animosity and pointing fingers and pushing people out who don't really deserve it. It's hard because if you're left-leaning, it's because you care about people, you care about human rights, you have empathy for others, yet what we stand for doesn't seem to reflect and our behaviors towards each other. For people who are supposed to fight for the rights of other people, which that desire is fueled by empathy, we sure have a hard time showing it for other people and showing compassion and patience. Patience especially. It's like, if you don't get the script right, if you don't do everything right and have all the resources and have all the answers immediately, then you're done. Especially if you have a semi-recognizable name. That could be an influencer on TikTok with like 10,000 followers or, I don't know, Selena Gomez. Let's talk about her for a second, shall we? Because I think, honestly, her display of emotions about the ICE deportations and the left's reaction to that shows a major weak spot for the left, in my opinion. So Selena Gomez posted this on her Instagram a few days ago.
I just wanted to say that I'm so sorry. All my people are getting attacked. The children. I don't understand. I'm so sorry. I wish I could do something, but I can't. I don't know what to do. I'll try everything I've...
And it was met with a lot of backlash. She ended up deleting it, and she posted, apparently it's not okay to show empathy for people, which was also then deleted. And of course, right-wing people had something to say about it, which is not surprising.
What about our children who were brutally and beat to death?
Seeing that video, it's hard to believe that it's actually genuine and real because she's an actress.
I just feel like it's a ruse to deceive people and to garner sympathy for lawlessness.
But people on the left also had a lot of criticism and backlash for Ms. Gomez. There was all kinds of criticism, people claiming that she was being performative, being a fake activist, she's being a narcissist, she's self-victimizing. People were also criticizing her for not speaking out about other social issues in the past. She can't speak up about immigration now because other things have happened before that she didn't talk about, and the list goes on and on. And so I'm laughing, of course, because I think it's kind of ridiculous. No one's perfect, and I don't think it's possible for one person to speak out about every tragedy that happens on this earth all of the time. And I don't think that should be a prerequisite to talking about or feeling sad about a event that is currently affecting people who you feel connected to in some way. Or don't. I don't know. Like, she's allowed to be sad about people in her community being deported. And yes, it would have been nice if Selena Gomez was more vocal about Black Lives Matter. That doesn't negate her feelings or the fact that we should be talking about this, and we should be glad that a celebrity is actually bringing attention to this and not just ignoring it. And I think there's something really powerful about seeing another person be genuinely emotional about something so horrible that is happening. And she, in the video, was like, I don't know what to do, I'm sorry. Like, and that's okay, she doesn't have to know exactly what to do in this moment. She can be raw and real about how she's feeling, because that is how a lot of people are feeling. Although Selena Gomez has a lot of money, and I'm sure she will do what she can with her money. It's not like she just has like $1 billion in her hand and the power, the political power, to just stop this all at once. I think that's what paralyzes a lot of left-leaning people, is like, I don't know what to do, I don't have all the answers, and I can't even talk about this without having all the answers because people will attack me for it. Like, that's not gonna get us anywhere. It's not gonna do anything. Demanding perfection from everyone is only setting us back and is the reason why Donald Trump is president, honestly. And there's a quote from theslate.com that talks about this whole situation that I think rings very true. In fact, more people should be crying on Maine. Maybe then we'd finally be talking about the issue instead of the celebrity who brought it up. And I think that's kind of the irony, is like, all this outrage about Selena Gomez having human emotions and displaying that has resulted in us talking about Selena Gomez and how much we should hate her, rather than talking about the actual situation at hand, which is people being deported out of this country wrongfully. Just people who kind of look ethnic, who look like maybe they should be deported, it's insane. Anyways, more on perfectionism. Aside from celebrities, normal people are held to a very high standard when it comes to leftist politics, liberalism, whatever. There's a phrase going around, conservatism is the new punk. And it seems contradictory because we usually would view conservatism as the embodiment of the man, you know, following rules and puritanical culture, anti-rebellion, all that kind of stuff. But now it's switched because the left has gotten so rigid and so hostile and has taken on their own kind of policing that conservatism is the new symbol of fringe or counterculture. So many people have fled the left to the right because they have felt like they were pushed out, and because they were so fed up of constantly always being wrong or always being attacked or being blamed for being something that they're not just because of a differing opinion or a mistake that was honest and really not that bad. Now it's like, okay, fine. You keep saying I'm secretly conservative, or that I'm actually a racist, homophobic, xenophobic, transphobic, da 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 da. I'm just gonna go to the side that you so badly want me to be, that you keep pushing me over to, because at least on the right, they're not gonna attack me for not being perfect. Speaking of conservatism as the new punk, there's a great article on Substack written by Texas Garden Fairy, who I also follow on TikTok, that verbalized this whole thing perfectly. The left has leftist, liberal, democrat, neoliberal, communist, socialist, anarchist. Well, you get the idea. We spend our time in our circle jerk meetings pontificating over who is more woke and whose label is closest to ideological purity. There's no room for healthy conversation when it's a competition on who can be holier than thou. Not all of us went to NYU or read Karl Marx. Some people are just a woman named Sally that lives in a town you've never heard of on the outskirts of a slightly larger city that you've also never heard of. These terms constantly being debated and thrown around are confusing to her. Hell, they're confusing to me and I've read Marx. And that's the thing, is there's a lack of accessibility. And there's this expectation that you need to be this hyper-intellectual who already knows the things before even thinking about identifying as left-leaning. And it's almost like you get in trouble for asking questions because you should know it already and you're not a real leftist or neoliberal, democrat, communist, socialist, etc., whatever it may be, without having a damn degree in it. And it's a lot. And most people aren't like that. That's why people are so right-leaning now, because the average American doesn't have that education or knowledge. And they don't want to feel dumb, that's for sure. And they want to feel like they're being supported as like an average working class person. I think that's why Donald Trump is so appealing to people, because he seems like this kind of like common man, even though he's not, but people feel comfortable with him. They feel like he is like one of them, I guess, or like he at least is trustworthy. I don't really fully understand this. I'm not a Trump supporter, but I know that the right feels like he's honest or he's straightforward and he doesn't posture himself as better than or higher than the average American because of the way he talks and his kind of showmanship that he always brings to his rallies and his speeches. People think, oh, he's honest, I can trust him, unlike other politicians who are liars and act like they're better than me because of their degrees and their education and their status and their wealth, etc. Does that make sense? Anyways, I don't think the left is super inviting when it comes to average people who just aren't aware of every form of terminology and where it comes from. And you know what I mean? I think that's also why there's been a rise of anti-intellectualism, which will be a separate video. But it seems like there are so many prerequisites to being a left-leaning person. And it's like, if you're not completely perfect, it's like, well, we don't even want you. And so what is that average person gonna do? They're gonna go find some place that makes sense to them and feels safe. The goalpost seems to move every day, and instead of simplifying the message and making concessions where we can, we demand purity. We need the Sallies on our side. Like it or not, we need the numbers. What I also think is interesting, and in the last quote I shared, she uses the word purity, which really stood out to me because, again, the right side was known for embracing puritanical culture and demanding purity out of others through the guise of religion and things like that. And the left does the same thing, maybe without the religious part, but it's like its own religion or cult at times, where you have to fall in line and you have to follow the script and agree and not question it, just go along with what everyone tells you and think how everyone else thinks. And if you challenge it or even show any curiosity about this belief, you are viciously attacked and called out of your name and labeled with really serious names that just usually aren't true. And so I just think it's interesting that purity has become so emphasized for the left when in the past, traditionally, that's not what the left stands for. That's how I perceived it to be. But yeah, that's all I got for today. This is an interesting topic for me as someone who is also online and observes and also experiences some of the things I just talked about. So yeah, let me know what you think. Thank you again, Layla, for sponsoring today's video. Check out my music if you're interested. Links are in the description. And don't forget to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up, I guess. I never do that, but I'm doing it right now. So, you know, might as well if you're still here. Anyways, thank you for watching. Goodbye.